Our second presentation is entitled An Innovative Integrated MPH Curriculum, Mobilizing an Organizational Change Through a Curriculum Redesign. Our presenter is Ms. Vanessa Edward. Ms. Edward is the Director of Educational Programs for the Boston University School of Public Health. In this role, she works as part of an integrated team dedicated to developing innovative and effective educational programs. Ms. Edward received her MPH from the Boston University School of Public Health in 2008, and she is currently pursuing an MBA with concentrations in health sector management and leadership and organizational transformation.
Good morning. Thank you. So I'm going to focus on the process that we're currently going through in terms of changing our curriculum to be more competency-based. I have no relationships to disclose. John Cotter is an organizational change theorist at the Harvard School of Management, and we've been using his steps for organizational transformation and transforming the Boston University MPH program. It's a process that we started in December 2011, and because of our time constraints here, I'm just going to go through the first four steps in a little bit of detail, and then I have a handout afterwards if you're interested in all eight steps. And I'm actually going to start with this last learning objective in terms of overcoming resistance to change. So step one is to establish a sense of urgency. I think that we are pretty used to hearing that public health is a constantly changing field, and so it's easy to justify doing business as normal. And I think that we're also creatures of habit, and so we have to give people a reason to change. And so the biggest battle is fighting complacency. And in terms of fighting complacency, you have to take on six different factors, which is the absence of a major or visible crisis. I think, again, we're so used to seeing the changing field of public health that we don't see a crisis all the time. We have too many visible resources. We charge tuition, so we have resources at our institutions. There's a lack of performance feedback from external sources. We tend to get very positive feedback from our alumni about our program. Denial. I think that was sort of self-explanatory. We have a focus on different performance indices. I think that it's very easy to quantify research, but it's very difficult to quantify education in terms of appointment and promotion decisions. And we receive a constant positive message from senior management in terms of moving our curriculum forward. We try to encourage faculty to do a good job, so we're always receiving a positive message. So in terms of how we created urgency at Boston University School of Public Health, we constantly discuss the current environment of public health education. So we have an increasing number of schools of public health that are accredited. We have a number of local programs of public health that are accredited that are becoming our competitors. We communicate the expectations of alumni, employers, and community members, and we've started to get really good feedback from our alumni and employers lately. We sort of accidentally tested our system by enrolling a large class this fall, and so we're trying to figure out now how to deal with that increased capacity. We met our five-year enrollment goal in 2 years. And we're constantly bombarding faculty and staff with information about the future. So this maintaining this sense of urgency throughout the process has been really important for us because it motivates people. Step two is to form a powerful guiding coalition. The coalition needs to have the power to make decisions, has expertise, is credible, and is a balance of leaders and managers. And I actually see leadership and management as very different things. So leaders are able to see the future, envision the future. Managers help to put the day-to-day action into the process. And the coalition also needs to be able to act as a team. Our guiding coalition at Boston University is called the MPH 2015 Task Force. It's primarily composed of faculty, the Associate and Assistant Dean for Education, MPH directors who are faculty from each of the concentrations, a few key staff members. And it was really important to us to keep the task force very small so that we could make quick decisions. But we also wanted to make sure that we were involving faculty from all of the different departments, all of the different ranks. So we have a number of subcommittees who are helping us with this process. And we report to the dean and governing council of the school. Step three is to create a vision. A vision is a picture of the future and why people should create that future. It clarifies the general direction of the change. It motivates people to take steps in the direction of the change, and it helps to create an efficient and coordinated change effort. You want the vision to be clear and open-ended enough to allow for creativity and changes in the environment, because, of course, our environment is always changing. And it motivates people to act in their long-term interests rather than their short-term interests, because, of course, the short-term interests are always the easier things to accomplish. Step three, the vision for the BUSPH MPH 2015, which is a bit of a mouthful, is an innovative, competitive, and successful MPH program within the evolving environment for public health. And for me, the key word here is innovative. We're really looking to change our curriculum and do something different. Within that charge, we want to be effective. We want to make sure that we're preparing our graduates to practice in the field. We want to be strategic in that we want to make sure that the new MPH program fits in with our existing programs. We want to be efficient in that we want to make sure that we're using faculty and our physical resources to the best of our ability. We want to be adaptable and make sure that we can adjust for changes in enrollment in the future, and also as the field changes, we can adapt to those changes. And we want to make sure that the new MPH is marketable both to prospective students and to employers. And the reason why I think that this vision is effective is because it was established through a committee process, so there are many faculty involved in developing this mission statement. It gives direction without being overly prescriptive, and perhaps most importantly, it gives us a timeline. So to be able to implement the new MPH program by 2015, we know that we have to have it all laid out in place by the end of 2014. Step four is to communicate the vision. There are two forms of communication I think we're most familiar with: direct communication, which we have through meetings and written communication, website postings, and then indirect communication, which I think is a little bit more difficult, which is incentivizing, awarding, and promoting people who match the vision. And the challenge here is, of course, that managers and leaders communicate differently, and so the vision gets communicated differently depending on who is communicating it. So I'm going to start with that indirect method of communication for how we're communicating it at BU. And the way that we're trying to do it is we're first using our semester teaching awards to recognize innovation in education. We also give an annual innovation in education award. And we're working with the appointments and promotions committee to work on having their promotion decisions for faculty recognize innovation in teaching. And in terms of direct methods, all I do is talk about our curriculum change. So we have school-wide departmental and staff meetings. We post on our internal website. We email. We use social media. We have a new platform that we're using called Yammer. And we also, yes, Yammer. And we also host community fora, which we invite all of the faculty to attend. And we also ask our task force to communicate the message to their faculty at all of the departmental faculty meetings. And there's no way to under-communicate your message. You have to just keep on saying your message over and over and over again. So I said steps 5 through 8, I was just going to go through very quickly. So step 5 is to empower others to act on the vision. We're doing that by charging our task force members to really act within their departments as liaisons and encouraging faculty from all of the departments to participate in the process. Step 6 is to plan for and create short-term wins, and I think that it's really important for people to celebrate little victories so that you have milestones. One way that we've done that is we took our existing list of competencies, which was around 80 competencies, and we've boiled it down to about 10, which we think is much more manageable. 7 is to consolidate improvements to produce more change. So one way that we've done that is we've actually implemented those 10 competencies for this academic year, and we're in the process of revising those already for the next academic year, which is how we're starting to achieve step number 8, which is to institutionalize these new approaches. So just to throw one more change model at you, the SATIR change model is something that we also are looking at. This process has been a little bit different than we were expecting as we started to launch it. We've learned a lot. We've learned that it is not a linear process, and it takes much more time than we were expecting. I mentioned that we started the process in December 2011, and frankly, I thought that I would have a new curriculum to present to you today, but really what we've found is that we needed much more time to establish that sense of urgency and get a lot more faculty on board. We now have the leadership of the school fully on board with what we're trying to do, and so I would like to think that we're starting to climb out of the chaos stage of the SATIR change model, and we're on that upward momentum, and hopefully we'll continue to maintain that momentum over time. Thanks very much.